In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a well-known poem by Robert Frost that begins, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." And as the poem unfolds, we learn that Frost's neighbor loves the wall between their two properties. And he carefully repairs it year after year, building the wall back up stone by stone. We also learn, as the poem unfolds, that Frost tries to reason with his neighbor and says, "Look, you know, if we both have cows, we need a wall. But my apple orchards aren't going to stroll over onto into your property and eat your pine cones." But nonetheless, Frost's neighbor builds the wall time and time again. And he often quotes his father, "Good fences make good neighbors. Good fences make good neighbors." Frost continues to disagree. "Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down." In our lives, we can inherit walls that were not directly of our own making. We can inherit multi-generational hatreds that we absorb from childhood. For example, the Middle East, seemingly intractable multi-generational conflicts. Kosovo. In my own childhood, it was the Irish conflict. In my high school, there were several occasions on which we were evacuated from the school building because of bomb threats, supposedly from the IRA. And you can imagine what that did to our perception of the Irish question, of the rights and wrongs underlying the conflict. And it wasn't until much later that I was able to tease apart and disassemble the bundle of hatred and prejudice that I had inherited as a child against essentially the Southern Irish cause. Layer upon layer of stones can be piled on in these essentially tribal hatreds: race, religion, ethnicity, land, heritage. And then the walls between nations are made even higher often by unequal access to resources. We think, for example, of the role of water, geopolitics, in the Middle East, in Israel, in that conflict. Unequal access to food, water, education, healthcare, electricity. And these walls that take generations to build up can take even more generations to dismantle, stone by stone. However, other walls we put up all by ourselves. Walls of judgment, envy, mistrust, grudges. And we might add new stones to our little wall from time to time that we polish. New stones of fresh grudges for our wall. Sometimes coexisting is the most that we can manage. The child psychologists call it parallel play. Two children, each playing in their own sandboxes, but never playing together, as it were on either side of an invisible wall. I suspect that from time to time, every one of us in this church this morning has had that feeling of a relationship where dialogue has stopped. At Pentecost, we see that God has an opinion about walls that we think are insurmountable. Something there is in God that does not love a wall. God continues Jesus' work of dismantling walls that seem so high that nothing can ever get over or under or around or through. Jesus does many individual miracles which give health and life in place of sickness and death. And at Pentecost, God shows his full hand to a whole community, a diverse community. He just jumps over all of the walls that seem to divide all at once by direct intervention. If that happens in a hospital bed, we call that a miracle, a sudden healing. Pentecost is an all-at-once healing in a huge group. It is as though God breathes out and says, "You are all one family, many branches, one tree." At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit reveals what has been true all along, but we couldn't see it because of our walls. You are one people under one God who loves you. One family. In a single bound, the Spirit jumps over walls of race, age, gender, religion, tribe, segregation. Instead of mistrust, a neighbor. Instead of stones, an outreached hand. Listening ears, all hearing the same word of love. It seems to me that walls often exist not because of the differences between people, the original actual difference. Often walls stay in place because we deny common ground. We deny similarities with our neighbors. We ignore or we forget our shared humanity, our shared suffering, our needs, our dreams. We forget that we are here to help each other, that we're here to encourage each other. If we look for a moment at exactly how the Holy Spirit descends on that first day of Pentecost in that enormous crowd in Jerusalem, they're assembled together for a harvest festival, the Feast of Weeks, the Festival of Weeks. They are what we would call a multinational, multi-ethnic crowd. Even among the Hebrew peoples, it's easy to forget this, but even among the Hebrews, there was a great diversity of culture and language. And in a pre-digital, pre-media age, these different groups would have almost no exposure to each other. Yet when the Spirit comes, no one has to learn a new language. Everyone hears the gospel in their own language. No one has to throw out their culture or their heritage. They only have to add two things. Everyone else is equally part of God's family. And Jesus is the broker of that new union within the love of God. On that day of Pentecost, I suspect that I might have been one of those people watching who thought, this isn't real. In fact, the translation we just heard said they were sneering. We know what that is like, that faint condescension. You do what? You go to church? You believe what? We might have been there thinking, this is not real. But the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real. Pentecost is an amazing high water mark for the church, but it's not the last. Jesus has told his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's more to come. Truth continues to unfold, and so does the work of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not contained. It is happening now and always. The Holy Spirit does not go backwards or get smaller. So a question for us, what are the walls that we imagine God cannot jump over? What is it that we think God cannot do in our life? What are the walls we imagine are absolute? I think that we all have them. We all have those situations where we think that there is no help to be had. The Holy Spirit says to us today, now it is your turn. You are a Pentecost people. Now you try. Pentecost is a day of unity and joy and power and courage. If there is someone in your life you want to be reconciled with, today is the day to reach out. You may not succeed today, or even next week, or even this year, but take the first step today. In the Spirit, God is with you as you try to restore or heal a broken relationship or a situation that you think is beyond hope. The Spirit doesn't always come as we would wish, in the way that we would wish. But that does not mean the Spirit does not come. I have been on deathbeds where a person is not physically healed, but they may be cured in the sense of accepting. They may be cured in the sense of reconciled to the life they have had and the life to which they are going. Healing takes many forms, and they're not all physical. We know this. In the Spirit, God is with you as you reach out again and again. God is in the hope that makes you persevere in reaching out. In the Spirit, God is preparing a way for you now, opening a way forward where you think there is none, where I think there is none. In the Spirit, all human walls are temporary, all of them. In the Spirit, communion, family, God's family, is eternal. For we are all one, one family, in Christ Jesus our Lord, and in his continuing work of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.